Amen. For all he's done, he's worthy of our praise tonight. He's worthy of all of our adoration tonight. All of our honor belongs unto him. Any glory, sometimes, I preached a message not too awful long about stolen valor or stolen honor. And I talked about how that it's a big term right now in the military scene. You get people that will go on eBay or somewhere and they'll build them a rack of medals like they have served in some situation in combat or something in one of the branches of the military, and then they'll steal honor, they'll steal glory, they'll use the veterans' privileges and pass, and they try to present themselves off as a hero. Let me tell you, a true hero won't tell you he's a hero; he'll just be one. And that's God. We owe all. I mean, a great preacher, he won't tell you he's a great preacher; he'll just be one. So all honor belongs unto the Lord. Let me be a pastor for a few minutes. Can I be a pastor for a few minutes? As questions come up recently, and let me thank you for coming tonight. I don't know who's here and who's absent, and I've not looked around everywhere tonight, but some questions have been coming up in light of the things that's going on in the world today. I mean, man, people are crazy. And it's like Brother Craig Garris, the chief of police of Wilkesboro, put a statement out of the newspaper. We're not isolated and we're not insulated. We're not isolated that we're by ourselves out here on an island, and we're not insulated from the things that everybody else faces. I mean, if it could happen in Charleston, South Carolina, where somebody would come in and, you know, cause harm to a bunch of the parishioners in a congregation of believers such as we, it can happen in Wilkes County. But and it's been asked many, many times, preacher, what are you doing, or are you doing anything? And it's even been asked to my deacons. We have a security force in team that's been in effect now for quite a while. And I just want you to know that we're on top of it. These are law enforcement officers. These are people with arrest powers that come to this church. They're here every service. And strategically, they sit throughout the congregation. You say, who is it? I'm not going to tell you who they are. Why would I tell you who they are? I'm not going to do that. It starts with just being vigilant. We've got cameras on every entrance of this door, on every door of this building, and every means of egress in and out. We've got cameras, okay? We've got the monitors are in the sound room. Every door in this building, are you hearing me? Every door in this building is locked. After you get in here and get in place, it's locked. Not that you can't get out. That would be a fire code violation. You can get out any door in this building. If it's on fire, get out of my way. I'll leave tracks on your back. Okay? Let's be honest. If it's on fire, get out. They're all unlocked. But it means that people can't come in from the outside while we're sitting in here, except that that one door right there is still unlocked. And there's cameras on that door. Brother Jesse's up there right now in the sound room. Jamie Blackburn's up there in the sound room. If there was anything going on outside, they would know it prior to us knowing it, okay? And they're abounding four steps down the steps. The door can be locked in a matter of seconds, not minutes, but seconds. And that door could be locked. You said, yeah, but if somebody come in to mean us harm, they could come through that door. Yeah, but we would already know it, okay? There's things being put in place that have been put in place and that are in place. And it may not be that it would be some type of a terroristic or some type of a threat. It could be medical emergency. Just as we saw Brother Joe on Sunday, he had a little bit of a low sugar count. But we've got things such as this little baby right here that I've used as a sermon illustration before, much to y'all remembrance. I pulled this thing out one time, and I was wanting y'all to hear call for help. And I opened it up, and I put my microphone down, and it said, remove all clothing. If you remember that, if y'all were here and remember that, raise your hand. Yeah. James, y'all missed it. I pulled this thing out. I was going to use it at an altar call. The first thing you do when you open it up is supposed to be call for help, dial 911. Well, that had already taken place. So when I opened it, it said remove all clothing. True story. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to your pastor. I promise you that. Let me just tell you, listen, I'm crazy tonight. I really feel crazy, okay? I got down back there in the prayer room getting ready to pray a while ago. When I went down to pray, something stuck in my hand. And it stuck up pretty deep, probably a half inch. And I thought, what in the world? And I'm trying to pray, and Chad's praying beside me. He said, who in the world's he praying to, Beelzebub or what? I'm like, oh, God, help me. What is that sticking in my hand? Well, I got up, and I'm like, what in the world was that stuck up in my hand? And I couldn't find it. I wasn't going to just jam my hand back down. I started kind of feeling around. Brother Joe said, I got boot leather. My hands are like iron. Jody goes over and he does this, and he pushed down, and there was a needle, a sewing needle. So So whichever of you ladies were sewing in the men's prayer room, you've left your needle back there. And it was in the pew, which brought back another remembrance. I told you if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to your pastor. Miss Macy, at the young age of about 5, decided she's going to knit me, or 8, 10, whatever she was. She's going to make me some monogrammed hankies. And she was monogramming H's on all my hankies. And Miss Cindy had told her, honey, if you're ever monogramming or doing something like that and you don't get finished, just stick your needle back in your cloth. And that way you'll always know where you left off and your needle will be right there. Well, I went to grab me a hanky for the next service, and I grabbed one, unbeknownst to me, that had a needle stuck in it. So while I'm up at Mountain Valley and I'm up there preaching in a big way, and I get my hanky out and I do this, I'm like, what have I got stuck in my lip? I look like a fish hook. I got a needle with thread hanging off of it. These are true stories. Only I could take a security issue and turn it into something laughing. But even as Brother Joe might have a medical necessity, a week ago, Wednesday night, Miss Judy coming down from the choir broke her ankle, or broke a bone in her foot. I don't mean fractured it, I mean broke it. During Bible school, a lady stood up in Miss Kim's classroom down there in the Bible school, stood up and rolled her ankle over. Many people in this church, and we had a compound fracture in the parking lot, little boy skateboarding, bones sticking out. And I'm telling you, things are going to happen. When you get 200 plus people on a campus this size, stuff can happen. But I want you to rest assured, come to church and worship the Lord. We do not live in fear. Okay, you hearing me? The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. You come in here and you worship Him. You let that other stuff go. And we'll take care of what needs to be took care of. I promise you, your pastor, your deacons. And like I said, people are strategically, they're placed throughout this church. And they're there for a reason. They're going around checking the doors. You're good, okay? I just wanted to throw that out there tonight. What else? If you have decided that you need to be taught rather than offer instruction yourself, this year's church officers list is in my hand. And there are many changes that have already come up. And I want you to think about your role in the next church year. Are you where you need to be? Are you where the Lord wants you? And the nominating committee is going to begin meeting very quickly, and we're going to start putting names on paper. But we won't do that except that we have first prayed before we put a name on this paper. I promise you that. Two things I want you to think about. Tommy and Mary Doris led the charge of the children's church for several years. They followed Jerry and Martha Church for several years. Brother James and Miss Lori had it for maybe a year or two, one or two. I think one and done for y'all. Yeah, that's about all they could handle. But if y'all want, listen, I don't start the children's church and stop the children's church based upon my desire as a pastor to have the kids in the service or not in the service on these Wednesday nights. But if you want a children's church, somebody's going to have to step up. The nominating committee can put somebody in there, but if you don't have a heart to be in there, you won't stay in there. Now, I'm not telling you that Tim and Sam are going to become the next children's church directors, but if God put it upon their heart, then you need to come to me and say, Pastor Mark, tell us more about what that is. The curriculum will be provided for you. Everything will be there, and you can get with the ones that have done it in times past. And I'm not suggesting that y'all do it, but I'm saying if the Lord puts something like that on your heart, get with me. Because it could be the very thing that you're supposed to be doing, and by you not doing it, the kids are not getting the instruction one-on-one that they might need. So you think about that. Nominating committee this year, I will tell you, without telling you who's coming on, I'll tell you that Robbie and Beth Belote have served their two-year tenure, and Scott and Karen Miller have served their two-year tenure, and they will come off, leaving myself and Miss Cindy, Brother Danny and Miss Wanda, and Brother Kippy and Miss Melissa. And then we will be getting four others from the congregation of the church, and we'll be announcing that. But if you're in a position you need to step down from it, get with me. There's already several that have, and that's okay. Okay, because that just means that God's going to take you and use you somewhere else, or maybe let you grow. In the Bible tonight, let's get in there for just a little while. I believe we need to be in the Word of God. This being the Wednesday night prior to our upcoming revival meetings with Brother Jason Penley, I believe the Lord has got me to a point of prayer tonight. I don't know if you're going to call it the doctrine of prayer. I don't really believe that it is. It's not one of the focus of doctrinal issues that the Lord had put on my heart to teach about. But I told you when we started this series of the doctrinal teachings of the major doctrines of the Bible that when the Lord said go somewhere else, guess what? We're going somewhere else. And the Lord has really, He just wrapped my heart around prayer tonight. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to be looking at prayer tonight. Let me just say this. If you've got lost family members, have you prayed for them? If you desire a better job, have you prayed for one? If you desire more income, more security in your income, more security in your job, have you prayed for that? Your kids getting ready to change school districts, getting ready to decide whether or not we're going to send them to public school or we're going to homeschool them. Have you prayed about it? You want a closer walk with the Lord? Have you prayed about it? You want a deeper understanding of the Word of God? Have you prayed about it? Brother Chris, if you want a better life, have you prayed about it? Do I want a better marriage? Have I prayed about it? Do I want more obedient, more faithful children? Have I prayed about it? Everything that I can put on my heart needs to be saturated with prayer. And I wrote down some things tonight, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But the man and the message is Brother Jason Penley. God's going to give him the messages. I got a text from him earlier today. I texted him, and he texted me back, and he said it seemed like all hell had risen up against him this week. I did not elaborate. I didn't go into it, nor did he elaborate, nor did he go into it. But I just know that it seems that way with me, Brother Kenny. It may have been the same with you over the years. It seemed like every time I get ready to go into a revival somewhere, that everything in the world comes against me. And I know that it does, and it will him. A man texted me today and asked me if Brother Jason Penley was a good preacher. And I told him, I said, well, he's the one that God sent, and I'll let God be the judge if he's a good one or not. And he said, okay. I don't know if Brother Jason Penn is a good preacher or not, but I'll tell you this, he's the one God's got for this week. What kind of a question is that anyway? Is Brother Steve a good man, or is Brother Mark a good pastor, or whatever? I believe that's bait. I really do. But anyway, going to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. Now, most of y'all immediately dive right into verse number 14, but we're not going to be in 14 tonight. We may read it just because it's good scripture. It is a good recipe for revival, and we may hit that just a little bit. But if you want anything from the Lord, you need to pray about it. I wrote down many quotes on prayers this evening. And I'm just going to read a few of those tonight. What is prayer, Brother Chris? What is a prayer by definition? Don't know? They can't hear you in the back. Brother Chris says it's just talking to God. Brother Steve, what is a prayer tonight?
Making your petition known to your Heavenly Father.
Petition known unto your Heavenly Father. Both of them are correct. It's talking and listening to God. There was a reverend by the name of Dan Hayes. He made this quote, "All I know is this, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't happen." How about that? A man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God. Amen. By Brother Ravenhill. Prayer does not equip us for a greater work. Prayer is that greater work. Amen. By Oswald Chambers. Corrie ten Boom. If you don't know Corrie ten Boom, go downstairs and get a book. They're in the library about her. She is a phenomenal person in the history of the Jewish nation. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to become a burden. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." Benjamin Franklin said, "Work as if you'll live to be 100, but pray as if you will die tomorrow." What a quote. The most powerful people on earth today are those who pray, not those who talk about praying. By preacher S.D. Gordon. Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without praying is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Billy Graham said, to get our nation back to its feet, we must first get it on its knees. Prayer is at its highest a two-way conversation, with the most important part being the listening. History is silent regarding revivals that first did not begin with prayer. Those are just a few things that I jotted down concerning praying. And I want you to see that the mighty moves of God and the very things that I'm hopeful in my own life and the very things that Cindy and I enjoy as a family are all because of prayer. I don't care to tell you, whenever Jake and Macy were just kind of, I don't know if they, what would y'all call, sweet on each other or whatever. It seemed like Miss Mama didn't have a perfect peace about it all. Daddy may not have had a perfect peace about it all. Jake was just a little guy that come to church, and Macy was our daughter. And ain't no way that Jake Gold's going to measure up to a standard that would take the preacher's daughter. They make movies about people like you, Jake. Yeah, and about the preacher's daughter, you know, people like you end up in shallow graves. They end up missing. They get suicided by the Clintons. They show up missing in action. But not too awful long after an event happened here at the church, right over here on this side. Little Jake, the little boy that had been sweet on Miss Macy for all these years, he made his way up here. And this time he wasn't praying for this need or that need. It was this Miss A Ginger that Jake said, I need to be saved. And it was after that that Jake come up and bowed and said, Lord, save me. And that was when the peace finally come into the hearts of Mom and Daddy. We didn't know what it was, Brother Dean. We can't put our finger on it. We just know something's a little bit off here. Jake's wanting to date Macy. Macy can't date because she's not old enough to date. She ain't old enough to court, whatever y'all call it today. Some of y'all, we got some strange relationships going on in 2019. I don't know what it is. I went out with somebody. If I liked them, I went out with them again. If I didn't like them, I didn't go out with them again. That's kind of the way that thing worked. And you say, well, yeah, you ain't good. We don't do that anymore. We got to arrange everything. Prearranged marriages do not work. Okay, the Bible said, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. It does not work. God's got to put it together. And it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. How old were you, dear? 19. How are you? 18. Okay, did it work? How many years you been married? Don't tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. 34 years of marriage, 32 years of marriage. Brother Danny, how old were you, son? Go ahead and spit it out really quick, because I'm about ready to preach. 18. How old were you, Miss Wanda? And how long you been married? 49 years. That didn't work. Y'all need to go back and wait till you're 25. You were both 18. That only equals 36. Honey, I'm telling you what's the truth. If God's in the arrangements, God will work it out. But I'm telling you, it begins with prayer. Miss Cindy said, Mark, we got to pray about this. We prayed about Mara, and we prayed about Macy. And every day that I would drop Mara off at school after they were homeschooled, God give us the freedom to go ahead and let them do the things that they needed to do. And we put them in the public school system. And I believe God was all in that. I have no regrets to that. But every day that Miss Cindy would go to get them, I'd drop them off. Cindy would pick them up. Cindy would say, Amara, who's that little blonde-headed boy out there? That's just a friend of mine. And it went on that way for months and months, and a year goes by. Who's that little blonde-headed boy out there? Every day. Who's that curly-headed little boy out there? Every day. That's just my friend. That's just Preston. There's not been two more compatible people put together since Adam and Eve were put together in a garden. I believe that. You said you believe that Mara and Preston are that bonded together. I believe that God made Preston for Mara, and I believe that God made Mara for Preston. There is no doubt in my mind, as sure as God made me for Miss Cindy and Cindy for Miss Me, or Mr. Me. God help us. Tim. It starts with prayer. This is not a relationship series tonight. It's not a message on relationship. It's a message on prayer. But Brother Tim, prayer works. Amen. I'm telling you, if it did not move the very heart of God, then why do we even offer to pray? If talking to God cannot sway God or move God's heart from one decision that he was about to do, then why even pray? It does work, Miss Melissa, because God would say, I'm going to destroy them. And then all of a sudden, somebody got a hold of the very hand of God. And that because of that, God's heart was moved. You look at it all through the Bible that God, he said, I'm going to just wipe them all out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then they go down, and Father Abraham has got a nephew by the name of Lot. And he has pitched his tents in the wrong direction. And he's down there. And what happens is Father Abraham said, God, are you really going to rain destruction on them cities? Are you really going to pour out wrath on them? And God said, absolutely. It's a done deal. And Abraham said, but God, would you just spare them for 50's sake? God said, I will. And so what's he doing? Abraham's praying, Brother Chris. He's saying, God, would you spare for 40's sake? God said, I will. He said, God, I can't find 40. Would you do it for 30? Would you do it for 20? I will. He said, how about for 10? Brother Kenny, if God's cart can't be moved, then why are we even praying? If God can't send revival next week, Brother Kippy, why even schedule one? If God can't move on the heart of an evangelist, then why even schedule one? Why even call one? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's stand to our feet and read our scripture tonight. For those of you that come looking for a doctrinal series tonight, I guess we'll just take this one up as being prayer. It's not a position of prayer. It's not a doctrinal study on prayer, but it's what God hath done tonight. He has called us to prayer regarding our upcoming revival. Brother Dennis, you want to see Ken saved? I know you want to see Ken saved. Miss Don, don't you want to see Ken saved? It starts with prayer. You lay him on the altar of grace. Let God take it from there. Mama, you'd love to save that youngin', but you can't do that. I'd love to save the world, but I can't save anybody. The Bible says, this is a beautiful passage of scripture here because it's a prayer of Solomon. Solomon starts out in chapter number 16. And man, he's pleading for the people. He's talking to God on behalf of the people. And God's hearing. And I want you to see what happens. I'll start out in verse number 16, but our text will primarily be verse number 1 through 3 or whatever in the 17th, in the 7th chapter. But let's just look up above where we're at there. It says in verse number 36 that if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. And that's pretty much us today, isn't it not? There's nobody that doeth good and sinneth not. For there's none righteous, no, not one. It points to every one of us as being sinners. And Solomon is making that well known. He said, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, that they carry them away captives upon a far land, afar off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, and we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried themselves captive, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. Forgive thy people for which they have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Now right there, he could put an amen. The scriptures does not put an amen, but I said there could be one right there because he hath now, at that particular juncture of two passages of scripture, he has now made an end of praying. It would be foolish for me, a pastor, to go before my thrice holy God and say, God, If my people at Calvary have done anything amiss, Father, if they have sinned, Lord, would you forgive them? That's not what Solomon did. He starts off with that. It says in that verse, if they sin against thee, which there is no man that sinneth not. He goes ahead and confesses for the people. He said, if they've sinned, and everybody does, is what he's saying. Lord, would you do these things? And then chapter number 7, verses number 1, 2, and 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying. Could that not be said true of Elijah? When the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves had called upon Elijah and they're mocking him and he's a mocking them. He said, if your God be God, then serve him. And he said, why halt you between two opinions? If your God's God, serve him. And it goes back and forth, Brother Steve. And Elijah's having him a field day. They're out there cutting themselves and out there gomming around. And Elijah's like, maybe your God's just on a journey. Maybe your God's asleep. Why don't you cry just a little bit louder? Brother Steve, Elijah knew what he was talking about. Because the wood being in a state of disarray, Brother Kenny, the Bible said he straightened it up and he put the wood in order. He put it on the sacrifice. He put it on the altar. He straightened up the altar, repaired the altar, put the wood in order. And then he did something as well. He prayed. And when Elijah prayed, what happened? The fire fell down and consumed the water, licked up the water in the trench, even the dust thereof. Look what happens right here where we're at. The Bible said when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Brother Tim, pray for us. Preacher, would you pray for this? Sure. Brother Greg, you're my family deacon. Would you pray for this? Sure. Brother Chad, you're my friend at work. And you go to church, don't you, Brother Chad? Would you pray for this? Sure. Brother Kippy, can I give you something? You're my family deacon. Would you help me pray for this? Sure. Brother Danny, would you help me pray for this? Sure. That would be the collective response of any single one of us. Brother James, you just got saved recently, didn't you? Would you help me pray for this? Sure. Now, I want you to have equal access to your pastor, your family deacon, your friends, your co-workers. I want you to have equal access to whoever it is. Miss Cindy's got some very close prayer warriors, some in this church and some outside of this church. Some are at Friendly Grove and some are at other places. But she's got some people that, if she's got a prayer that's on her heart, she believes, and when I say she believes, she knows that if I give this to that person, that prayer is going to be made. That prayer is going to be offered up before the Lord. If somebody comes to you and says, brother, would you pray, or sister, would you pray for me? Please don't take that as a flippant, careless, reckless request of a prayer. Don't let a gossip column become a prayer list, and don't let a prayer list become a gossip column. Don't let the prayer list become a gossip chamber. If somebody says this needs to stay in here, then guess what? It needs to stay in there. And that's just the way this thing works. But you yourself need to be able to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to hit this one on the way through, but I want you to follow me to a couple different places, one of them being the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah. But as you're flipping there, I would quickly quote 66 and 18 of the book of Psalms. The Bible says, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Did I make that up, or is that in the scriptures? No, that's in there. I've got you turning to Isaiah chapter number 59. Now, a lot of people will say that thy Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And you know that scripture, that is what's commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. That is nothing more than a model prayer. If you want to read the true Lord's Prayer and you want to see what He's talking about and who He's talking to and what's on His heart, then you go to the book of John and turn to John chapter number 17. And I challenge you to read that. Bless God, because the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to His daddy, His heavenly Father, He gets right along with God. And Brother Tim, He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about His early disciples. He's talking about those that would come along a little bit later. He prayed for himself. Brother preacher, it's okay for you to pray for yourself. It's okay for you to pray for yourself. If you don't pray for Chris, who else is going to pray for Chris? You say, well, I got a mom and a daddy praying for me, and I got my pastor, my friend here. Bless God, you ought to be able to go to God right now and say, God, it is me. It is me right now. It is I that stands in the need of prayer. God, it's not my brother, my sister. Lord, it's me right now that needs to get a hold of your hand. Lord, I need to hear from you right now. God, I got this on my heart, and I just need to hear from you. Lord, I'm going to shut up for a little while. I'm going to shut up my loins. I'm going to shut up my mouth. I'm going to close my heart up right now to selfish things, the self-will, the self-ego, that I would desire. Lord, I'm just going to push it all aside. I just want to die to me. God, I want you to help me. God, I need you. I just want to be open to you, God. I'm shut up to myself. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need you, God. But where do you start with that prayer? Isaiah 59, I've got you turned there. I'll quote it as you read it along with me. The first word is behold. If you see a word that says behold, it means to take notice, to look, to open your eyes and to see, to behold. If I'm, Brother Tim, standing at the foot of the majestic Rocky Mountains, I might say these words, what a sight to behold. That's a lot to take in. That's a lot to look at. And you might say, what a sight to behold. Ain't no doubt in my mind, whenever Kippy and Melissa, they saw Thomas and Jordan for the first time holding that sweet little baby, your eyes beheld something that you didn't know was even possible to behold. What was it? That was your first grandbaby. And it wasn't just a grandbaby, she was a pretty grandbaby. And you said, what a sight to behold. And that word, when it says behold, it's saying to take notice of, to looky here. And when he says behold, I want you to take notice of this fact. The Lord's hand is not short concerning His promises. And I want you to see what He says. He said the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Now, do you hear what that scripture said? It said the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. What do you mean, preacher? That it's not shortened that it cannot save. What it's saying is this, Brother Kenny. Bless God. There's nowhere that you can go. There's no depth that you can dive to. There's no low place in life that you can find yourself, be it in sin, in depravity, in depression, or any other means. There's no distress. There's just nothing, Brother Chris, that can get you there to where God can't reach you. His hand is not shortened that it cannot get to you. If you need to be got to, and your heart's right with God, He can reach you. The Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It can reach you, Brother Tim. Brother Anthony, it can reach you. Job, he got down into the lowest of the low. I can't imagine in a 24-hour period anybody experiencing more loss than Job did. But bless God, he got down there, but he still was able to get a hold of God. He said, I come in naked and I go out naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I know that when I'm tried, I shall come forth as pewter. He didn't say pewter. I know that when I'm tried, I shall come forth as aluminum. No, he said, when I come forth, I'm coming forth as gold. Something that's precious. So I want you to hear that again. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy. Are you hearing me tonight? Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God doesn't walk around like this. Brother Steve's trying to talk to him, and he's going, yeah, 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 yeah. And Steve's saying, it's me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not what God's doing. But what God is doing is found in the next verse. He's refusing. He says, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But verse number 2 is a straight up, a straightforward, an eye-opening, a heart-rending verse of scripture that tells us what God does whenever we walk around with sin in our lives and expect him to just go ahead and continue the blessing pot. It said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all understand that? We talked about this thing being the Word of God written on a fifth grade level. What part of that is hard to understand? He said that your iniquities. What is iniquities? I guess we break it down that way. What is iniquities? What is sin? It's that that violates the holy covenant of an almighty God. He said, if you've got that in your heart, you did what I said don't do, or you didn't do what I said to do, you got the sin of omission, which you just didn't do what God said to do, or you got the sin of commission, that you did that you shouldn't have done, and God give you a written word against it, but yet you did it anyway. To him, that is an iniquity. That is a trespass. That is a violation of God's law. And when you do that, guess what? If you don't get that under the blood, you don't get it forgiven, then God's just going to refuse to hear your prayer. Did I make that up? Is that in the scripture? So then how do we have revival? How do we see the fire fall? How do we get to a place that Solomon did where the priest couldn't even go into the place? In chapter number 7, chapter number 7, verse number 1, the Bible said when Solomon had made an end of praying that the fire fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice and the glory of the Lord filled the house, that the priest could not even enter in. Mother, have you ever been in one of those services? I'm telling you what, I've been in maybe one or two in my life, but they're so few and far between that whenever one of them happens, we get scared to death. We get scared to death. Why? Because there's something holy in that place. You know what usually happens at the end of those, Miss Wanda? A whole handful of people get saved. They do. You've been in them in your life where the holy hush of God just falls on the place, gets a little bit sideways in there. We determine that sometimes it's smoky in there or it's foggy in there. Scientologists and scientists say it's the salt in your eyes because you cried so much that night. It gets a little bit of saline. Your saline's got sodium in it. It makes you a little blurry-eyed. I don't know what it is. I just know God showed up. And I like it when God shows up. It doesn't happen often enough. I'm going back over to Isaiah. I flipped my Bible back to catch that other verse, but I'm going back to Isaiah chapter number 59. It says, for your hands are defiled, verse number 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverse things. See, it's all the faculties of body. It's our lips, our tongues. The Bible said the tongue is a fiery little member. It says it's full of deadly poison. Our hands, they touch the unclean. Our feet, they go to the wrong places. Our minds think the wrong thoughts. Our eyes look too long, and when they look too long, they look wrong. And the next thing you know, he has to put something in the scripture about 6 things the Lord doeth hate, the 7th is abomination unto him. What is that? It's the thing that I just mentioned. Hands that shed innocent blood. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. It's a lying tongue, a proud look. It's all those things that we talked about. And he that soweth discord among the brethren is the 7th. God doesn't like that stuff. And what it does, it brings a reproach upon him. I've got several places that I want to go to, and I want you to follow along, or I just want you to hear with me. I was going to have Brother Chris do it, and for the sake of the way that I preach, I have a hard time slowing down, as you might well know. I just have a hard time slowing down and teaching or whatever. I want you to hear a few things. And I want you to, if you want to follow me, just listen for just a minute. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and 7, ask. And this is a perfect acrostic in the Bible. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. That's your A. Seek and you shall find. That's your S. And then K is the knock. So there it is. He gave you a perfect acrostic in the Bible. Ask. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That sounds to me like he's wanting you to pray. It sounds to me like that he's wanting to bless his children. It sounds to me like he has our best interest at heart. I believe that it is God's best interest that we serve Him in a manner that's worthy of Him. Why? Because He's higher than anything we've got. Brother Woody here tonight, he would tell us to mind the Lord. What's he saying? To mind the Lord is to say this, Lord, I want to be in your will. And whatever you want from me today, you get glory out of it. Whether it be a cry, a testimony, or a tear. Whether it be a song or a shout or whatever it is, Lord, I just want to mind you today. That's what God wants from us. So what do we get in return, Brother Tim? We have access to the throne of grace. The Bible said when you get saved by His marvelous grace, Brother Tim, that He said you can come sheepishly and crawl in the back door of grace. No, He said you can just kind of crawl in the back door. And no, that ain't what He said. But He said you can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in your time of need. The Bible said that He is a present help, a right now kind of help, Brother Kippy, in your trying time, in your needful hour, in your fourth man in the fire is Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've been put into that furnace of affliction. Bless God, He's there. I told you about Job and everything that he faced. God bless Job. Look at Jonah through disobedience. And I used this last night just as a cross-reference that God is a God of second chances, Miss Mary. Because the Bible said that in the belly of hell made I my cry. That's where Jonah found himself. God heard his prayer right out of the midst of the belly of hell. And the belly of that whale, God cried out. Jonah cried out and God heard him. And then it said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. He's a second God. He's a second chance kind of God. Brother Will, He loves His children. He would love it if we just do it the first time. But so many of us miss saying we had to wait till we got the second time. You know why? Because in between the first time and the second time, you know what? Nobody understands this morning, this much anymore. Go cut you a limb. Nobody understands that anymore. Go cut you a switch. You said, what's that all about? Between the first time and the second time, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Sometimes daddy would tell me something or mom would tell me something, Brother Tim, I didn't do it. But then the word of the authority come the second time. But between the first time and the second time, you know what? There was a chastening. There was a period of correction going on. A lot of people think that Jonah just ended up the whale's belly to get him from here back to the shore. That was a punishment. He wasn't just in there, Brother Greg, wrapped up and laid back on some kind of a big old puffy lumpkin. No, the Bible said he was tangled up in seaweed. He was in the midst of that mess, Brother Tim. That was part of his chastisement for getting in that situation to begin with. A lot of times, mom and daddy stripe your legs. The next thing you know, whenever the word of the Lord came the second time, you'd hear it a whole lot clearer. I didn't hear you real clear the first time, but I'm seeming to hear you really well now. But whenever God has to do that, and He doesn't take pleasure in doing that, I believe that it hurts God to have to punish His children. But I know one thing, He will punish you if you're one of His. He don't punish somebody else's children, He punishes His own. And the Bible said we're all partakers of that chastisement, and if we're not, then we're not His. A little verse of Scripture. It's only three words, and you don't have to turn there, but the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 17 says three little words. Pray without ceasing. Chris said prayer was a petition. Brother Steve said it was a supplication. He said it was a talk to God. He said it's an answer from God. It's both ways, hearing, listening, looking, watching, hearing, talking, pleading, begging. Hearing is a cycle, it's cyclical. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's what praying is. And without ceasing means don't stop. Without stopping. So if we're making our supplication and we're pleading and begging with God, it should always be. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm not the only parent here that's got kids that get prayed for. If I went back through there, Miss Jen, ain't no doubt you're prayed for Marty. And not only that, you pray for his young and his young. And next thing you know, you're praying for Drew and Gray. You're not just praying for Gerald. You're praying for your grandbabies. And that's the way that it goes. You go on back through here, you're praying for yours. And you're praying for yours. And you're praying for yours. Ain't no doubt in my mind you kids are prayed for. Why? Because mom and daddy love the Lord. And they're going to take you, raise him up, raise you up right before the Lord. Why? Because they know where to go get help for you. Goes back to where I started. I have no access to God except that my heart's pure. I didn't say I was lost again. I just said the Bible said that He won't hear me if I've got iniquity in my heart. So start out with this, Brother Steve. Have you ever seen anybody pray, Lord, I need your touch. I want you to bless this, bless that, and do 10,000 other things for me, Lord. And then at the very end of the prayer, you'll hear something about like this. And Lord, if I failed you today, just forgive me where I failed you. And then, Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. My friends, you ought to start out on your face right this way. Don't start out and say, Lord, if I have failed you. Start out by saying, Lord, I have failed you today. Lord, I'm a miserable person before you. I have failed you. I am miserable before you, God. And Chad, go ahead and get the money where it's at. We fail him. We're sinners. Solomon started off there and he said, Lord, if your people have sinned against you, and they have sinned, that's where we got to get. Start your prayer out. Lord, forgive me today, for I have failed you. Lord, I offer up this supplication before you because I want to hear from you. There's so much in here tonight that I was wanting to go to. James chapter number 5. We quote it. We use it every time we anoint somebody with oil. The Bible said Elias was a man subject to like passions such as we are, that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not upon the earth for a space of 3.5 years, 3 years and 6 months, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave her rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What shut up the heavens? God shut up the heavens, but what did he do it with? He did it with a prayer. He did it with a prayer. And the Bible said that he prayed again. Who opened up the heavens? You remember the scriptures? Miss Margaret, whenever Elijah said, go look, he goes up there and looks and said, I don't see anything. He said, you go look again. You remember that? He said, go look again. And about the fifth time, he said, are you crazy? Ahab, go look again. How about the seventh time? Always about the seventh time. You see that he had prayed again. And Ahab said, I see what you're talking about now. So I see a cloud. What did it look like? It looked like a man's hand. And it was getting ready to do this. Getting ready to pour out some rain upon the earth. Not just rain, but a sound of abundance of rain. He started with prayer. He concluded with a prayer. There's so many things in here about praying, and I know that all of them can't come to your forefront or the forefront of my heart tonight, but some of the prayers are prayers that are prayed that have just kept. I want you to think about this, and I don't know, stuff like this intrigues me. Miss Kim Ford, you talked about this thing that took place where there was a bunch of people praying at one time. You remember that? And because of a bunch of people praying, the end result was just, it had to be God. Have y'all ever seen any of those? You ever heard of those? Heather, you ever heard of those stories? If you don't, I don't remember the name of the book. There's a book out there about the 911 tragedy where those planes were flying into the buildings. I wish I could remember the name of the book right now. Becky, Google it and we'll put it out Sunday. But it's stories of a praying mama and a praying daddy, a praying grandmother. And I got to get back up here and read one of those quotes. It may have been by E.M. Bounds or whoever it was. It was the first one I read. All I know is this, that when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't happen. That book that I'm referring to, it talks about the prayers of a grandparent. Saying, my baby is flying to Los Angeles today. Lord, would you keep them from all harm? And Brother Potts on the side of a busy interstate with a wringing hands and frustrated heart. Somebody has just missed her flight. These are true stories. They're not made up. And because they're sitting on the side of an interstate, Brother Jerry, they missed their flight. And because they weren't on flight 93, or because they weren't on that flight, oh, they're tore up. I missed my flight. I hit a squirrel on the way to, I got a flat tire, my engine blew. They took me to the wrong gate. I caught a cab and I missed the cab. Somebody jumped in the cab before I got there and I missed it. Because I missed it, I didn't get to my gate. And because I didn't get to my gate in time, the plane left me. And here I am standing on the tarmac and I am spitting mad. I'm frustrated. But somewhere back home, Mama's saying, Lord, would you just keep them safe? God, I'm begging you, keep them from harm. God, whatever it takes, just don't let anything happen to my baby. Brother Kenny, and God is hearing that. There is no coincidence with God whenever God has somebody in His ear and He's hearing them. There is no coincidence with God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Everything is by God and by His design. He said, I've learned this. When I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't pray, they don't happen. But can you imagine, Brother Tim, y'all praying for Nicole? God, you just blessed Nicole. Lord, keep your hand upon her. Lord, we need you here. Daddy, I got a flat tire. Can you help me change this thing? Brother Tim, you don't know that she wouldn't have hit somebody head on just down the road. There ain't a thousand ways in the world you couldn't know that what might have happened. But because God heard your prayer. There's a book full of those coincidences. And I did do that. There's a book full of those things. There's prayers. Answered and unanswered. All kinds of prayers. So tonight, as we close this thing down, Macy, can you sing Sweet Hour of Prayer? It's in the book. You got a microphone over there? I want to open the altar to prayer. I want to open the altar to you. You want to bread a marriage? Pray about it. You getting married? Pray about it. They're getting ready to be the Brady Bunch. Minus one. There you go. You want a godly mate? Pray for one. You want obedient children? Pray for them. You want a better church? Pray for it. You want a better pastor? Pray for him. You want better Sunday school teachers? Pray for them. Well, I wish we had a better deacon board. When's the last time you prayed for them? Preacher, they're making decisions. I'm just not real sure about. Pray for them. Got a nominating committee sheet up here about a mile long. Pray for it. Lord, I just don't know what to do next church year. Pray about it. Brother Steve, did you hear the burden? Did you hear the one about Corrie Ten Boom? I'll go back and get that one. Then Miss Macy's going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Corrie Ten Boom said this. Let me find hers. It was a good one. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to become a burden. If it's that little, don't be burdened over it. If you won't pray about it, don't be burdened over it. But if it's small enough to pray about or big enough to pray about, you'll turn it into a prayer that then you won't have to be troubled over it. Say, God, this is in your hands. It's in your court. I'm praying for the one thing tonight. I'm praying for me. You know why I'm starting with me, Brother Chad? If you get your pastor right with God, you know what that's going to do? It's going to help every one of y'all. I promise you. When I get done praying for me, you know what I'm going to pray for? I'm going to pray for this church at large as a whole. You said you're going to pray for your wife? Oh, she'll be right in there in the mix. Pray for Miss Macy and Brother Jake. Jake, I wish you knew the prayers we prayed for you. We pray for you all the time. Ain't a meal goes by, your name ain't called out. Ain't that right, Miss Cindy? There's a family altar at our house. You've probably been around there long enough to know where it's at. We took it with us whenever we left the other house and come to this house, but we didn't leave our altar. We took it with us. It's called a fireplace. We get in there, and that's where we go to the Lord in prayer. Mary, I know where yours is at, baby. It's ever behind your door, your war room. We showed that movie, War Room. I believe it starts in that room. As a lot of stuff goes on in the secret places of this church. The Bible says, Brother Chris, that if you will pray in secret, he'll do what? He'll reward you openly. How many times, Brother Kenny, you ever had a message on your heart and God gives you one? Said, Lord, you give me a message. Lord, now you ain't giving me a word to preach it. Said, God, I just love to preach. Next thing you know, your phone's ringing. I remember one time, Brother Chris, I just announced my call to preaching, much like yourself, wanting to preach. I mean, chomping at the bit. And Miss Cindy was going to see her mom and dad that night. And I said, honey, I'm going to go down to church and pray. I went down to church and prayed, and I come home, and my answer machine light was flashing. I said, who in the world called while I was gone? I wasn't gone 30 minutes. Hit the button, Brother Greg. Hey, Brother Mark, this is Hobart Dow. I'd like to get you to come preach a revival for me. I said, well, that was fast. That was my very first ever revival at New River Baptist Church over in Twin Pines or whatever they call it, Twin Oaks, over there on the other side of Sparta. Prayer works. If prayer doesn't work, I wouldn't pray. As we stand and as Miss Macy sings, you sing one verse, two verses, or all of them. I don't care. The altar's open tonight.